episode of the Memo Cast is dedicated in the memory of Connor the Crusher. Mike, take it away.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to the first episode of the Memo Podcast. My name is Mike.
And I am Mondo. And if you're wondering where we get the name Memo Cast, it's the first two letters of each of our names, and it sounds kind of cool. That's really how we came up with the name. As to how many of you who might be first-time listeners, well, all of you are first-time listeners, probably just don't know who the hell we are. We are friends who have known each other since high school, and one day I asked, why do we not have a podcast? And my response was, I don't know. And so here we are.
Yeah, that was my little response. He texted me and was like, okay, first question, why don't we have a podcast? And I was like at work going, I don't know. I can't deal with this right now. Hold on.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is when I came up with the question, I just finished watching The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and had just listened to Gwen Stacy's speech. And I felt really inspired. You know, for those of you who haven't seen it, like, I won't go into spoilers because that's not how you want to start off your podcast with spoilers for a movie that is still freshly new out there. And so really what this podcast is setting to do is to kind of take into account, like, popular, like, cultural, like, events going on. And, you know, today's first episode is actually going to be predominantly about movie trailers. Talking about upcoming summer movies, big blockbuster hits that we're really excited for. We have, like, one or two little indies in there. But for the most part, it's, like, summer movies, you know. Summer is the big time for movies. And, you know, like, we have a couple good ones slated to talk about. So hopefully you enjoy that. But before we go any further, before we discuss any movies, we mentioned that this first episode is dedicated to Connor the Crusher. And for those of you who may not have seen the viral video yet, Connor the Crusher was a young boy who recently passed away from cancer. But before he did, the WWE gave him, like, the experience of a lifetime. He got to go to Monday Night Raw, and then from there he was, you know, he got to meet all his favorite superstars like Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee, you know, just all the bigs, everyone. And they invited him back to WrestleMania, where Daniel Bryan went on to win the championship. And I'm not sure when exactly he passed, but I'm assuming recently, since the video, like, just popped up this week. And I have to say, like, the WWE editing team, like always, did a really fantastic job.
I think that's where they excel. I think above all else, like, the WWE has some amazing editors who are just able to, like, cobble things together to make, like, something amazing. So
the editing team and the camera crew.
That's true. Yeah, because I have a friend who actually went to Mania, and he was talking about how, like, watching an event on TV, like one of the pay-per-views on TV, you're just like, oh my god, it's crazy, where did that come from? But then when you actually are there watching it, like, you can see them, like, set up, and you can see, like, oh, like, there's the other guy, like, getting ready to jump into the frame of view of the camera, and we know what's gonna happen next. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it was with SmackDown. You know, when you're watching on TV, they can cut to commercial breaks, because if you don't have to see all the ring setup.
Yeah.
You know, which is really interesting. But
yeah. Hey, this one's for you, Connor. You're up there in the big ring in the sky, beating the crap out of Macho Man.
Randy Savage. Yeah. And the Ultimate Warrior. The
Ultimate Warrior. And Andre the Giant's just there because he can be. And you guys are doing, like, a four-way, like, cage match, and just beating the crap out of him. Because you can.
Yeah, because you're Connor the Crusher. But now, before we jump into movie trailers, I felt this particular trailer in itself warranted its own discussion, despite it not being a movie. And Mike pointed out to me, and I don't know how I let it slip my radar, but it's the trailer for the new TV show Gotham.
Yes.
You know.
I watched it, because it popped up on my YouTube. It was like, hey, things you might like to watch. And I was like, what is this? And as I was watching it, for those of you who haven't checked it out yet, it's a new TV show. It's coming out on Fox this fall, and it's basically the story of a young Jim Gordon solving crimes and murders and mysteries and things in Gotham while Bruce Wayne, a young Batman, is still a little boy, and his parents have just died. So if you have a chance, go ahead and go watch that. I still have not forgiven Fox for Firefly, so
I haven't forgiven Fox for a lot of things. I mean, Fox is notorious for canceling shows early, so we may not even get more than just one season of this show. We who knows how it could go.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they're going to do what they've always done, is just air all the episodes out of order against, like, ridiculous things that they have no business competing against. And when the show isn't an immediate smash hit, they're going to freak out and cancel it because it doesn't have American Idol ratings the first week it airs. Yeah.
They're also going to change the time slot like 8 times.
Yeah, that's true. So,
you know. But I have high hopes for it. You know, one of the biggest people who stands out in the cast, for me at least, is Donal Logue playing, you know, Harvey Bullock. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the man, he's been in a lot of TV shows and a lot of movies. He's even been on the Fox show. I forget what the name of it was, but it was he played the father figure in the show. It was him and his wife, their 3 kids, their the Finnerty's. That's the name of the family, but I can't remember the name of the show. But he was also in Blade. He was in a couple other things.
Yeah.
So like, if you've watched enough TV and movies, you've seen Donal before, and mm-hmm. you either like him or you don't. I really like him. I think he really embodies what I would want out of a live action interpretation of Harvey Bullock.
Grounded for Life. That's the name of the show.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? Speaking of Grounded for Life, not only was the mom really attractive, so was the daughter. I was like, all right, the Finnerty's, it's just attractive genes, I guess.
She was on an episode of Malcolm in the Middle, wasn't she? She, like the dance episode?
She was. She's interesting. So, see, Fox just loves to cross-pollinate with the same actors in everything.
So.
But, the trailer does look really interesting. I like the motif they have set up in it. You know, it definitely embodies Gotham very well. It's dark, and it just, I don't want to say scummy, but sketchy.
Yeah. And it also, you were talking about earlier before we started recording that it showcases a few of the rogues. Yeah, a few of Batman's rogues and villains. And you were complaining to me that it seemed like a lot of these people are a little bit older than they should be.
Yeah.
That, you know, it shows like the Penguin and the Riddler and Poison Ivy and Catwoman and stuff before they actually become these supervillains. And you said that they seemed a little bit older than they should be.
Yeah. Well, especially Catwoman, because I feel like Bruce Wayne is a little kid here in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they could do some time jumps and what have you, but Catwoman seemed like a few years his senior, which could still work.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I watched it on my phone because the laptop was having problems, and she seemed like a good decade or so older, but you said she looked more teenage.
Yeah, like, to me, it seems like Bruce is, what, like 10 or 11 in the show? And to me, the oldest she could have looked to me, it was at least like 15.
Yeah, so she's in that age range. This is not really a big deal, but mm-hmm. I thought she looked like 22. Maybe the actress playing her is that age,
mm-hmm.
you know, which isn't unknown for in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But the one who, in retrospect, I feel does make sense to be at older age is the guy playing Penguin, Oswald Cobblepot, because, you know, he's supposed to be this millionaire, so obviously, you know, mm-hmm. well, a very rich, you know, tycoon of sorts. You take time to amass wealth, so he should be older than Batman. I guess the same could go for the Riddler. Like, but I've always seen at least Riddler and Batman being of somewhat similar age because, you know, they both, like, compete each other mentally.
Yeah.
So that's why the relationship like that, I'm like, but, you know, it could work. Like, the way they write it, I could totally, like, eat my own, like, you know, eat crow and be like, oh, well, hey, I ate a crow and here I am, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the show seems like it's more focused on Gordon and him trying to, you know, clean up the Gotham underworld. And we saw this woman Kingpin, this, like, gangster Kingpin woman who seemed like she's, like, the big bad of the series. I don't know who that would be within the Gotham DC mythology, but
I'm pretty sure if we researched it, we could find out. And maybe we will during the break we'll take on a little bit later and come back and be like, hey, we're done. This is who it was.
Okay, yeah.
But okay. But before we do take a break, I want to start the talk of movie trailers and talk with a big one that's coming out next weekend, and that's Godzilla.
Godzilla, yeah. Gojira.
Well, yeah, dude, Godzilla's got a pretty intense cast. From mm-hmm. what I remember, you have Bryan Cranston,
always a plus.
Yeah, Ken Watanabe.
Mm-hmm.
You have, it was Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
I think so, yeah.
And then Elizabeth Olsen, which is really weird because the latter two in this movie are a married couple.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also going to be in Avengers 2 as brother and sister.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, and you know what, like, they're actors. I can separate the two, but it's still funny to be like, you know, for a couple months, like, your whole, like, goes like, this is my wife. And then, you know, later, this is my sister. It's a very interesting mentality to take.
Well, it's just really funny because my, like, 12-year-old cousin, I was taking her to Subway the other night,
mm-hmm.
and she said the same thing about the a movie we're going to talk about later, The Fault in Our Stars. She said she's really excited for that movie, but the two actors who play the young couple in that movie are also, like, lovers, are also brother and sister, and, like, I think, like, Divergent or something like yeah. that. And so she was like, this is just weird. I can't imagine that. And I was like, now that you bring it up. Yeah, I was like, hmm. Yeah.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's mm-hmm. talk about Godzilla. This one looks amazing. It is mm-hmm. it is definitely a bounce back from the earlier film featuring Matthew Broderick, which yeah. by, you know, most people hate it. And you know what? I admit it's a bad movie, but I still enjoy it. It's a bad movie, but it's a fun watch. But it just makes no sense, like, throughout half the, like, the
yeah, events. No, the French are involved for some reason, and...
Well, it's not even this, but how the fuck do you lose something like Godzilla inexplicably? Like, one minute he's there, and then he disappears. Yeah, he's nowhere true. Near any water. He's, mm-hmm. You can't track him on radar. How does he just disappear?
This is true. But what I was... I actually did some research about this movie, the upcoming one. And apparently the production company, the guys who were in charge of all the design and everything, really, really, really wanted it to feel like one of the old Toho Godzilla yeah. movies. And that what their design process for Godzilla in this one is that he said that, well, he wanted the Godzilla in this movie to look like someone saw it in this movie and then went back to the 1950s and tried to, like, redraw it and create it as a costume from memory.
That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, that the old Godzilla is basically like a terrible recreation of this one that someone saw and was just like, okay, I saw this creature and I need to draw it, but I'm not really good at drawing or making costumes. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, you know what's interesting? Have you read the article about all the Japanese fans complaining that Godzilla's too fat?
No, I have not read that article.
There's a huge article that's been gaining a lot of traction where people are complaining that he looks too fat and he looks too big. Not so much too big, but just like too fat, and it's because of him being on a supposed American diet of cola and pizza. And I was just like... But you know what the worst part is? How is it that we as a society have progressed to the point where we're fat-shaming fictional monsters? how messed up do we have to be like, oh, Godzilla looks fat?
That doesn't even make sense, though, because, like, if you look at the old Toho Godzilla, like, that costume was really fat.
Well, yeah, someone had to fit in it.
Yeah, exactly. So. And, like, they're trying to faithfully recreate this monster to look kind of like the old one.
Yeah. Well, in their defense, there was actually the same article actually had a size comparison as to roughly mm-hmm. how big each Godzilla would be. And yes, this Godzilla is the biggest thus yeah. far.
350 feet as opposed to, like, all the other ones.
Yeah. But still, it's like, mm-hmm. you would expect the monster to have some bulk, some mass, especially if it's going to, like, you know, beat up the likes of Rodan.
Yeah.
You know.
That's another thing I want to touch on, is that they're not going to have any of the old monsters in this movie.
Yeah, well, they're going to have, I think, monsters that would be similar to yes. them, but...
They're called Mutos.
Yeah.
M-U-T-O. And it actually yeah. stands for Massive Unidentified Terrestrial Organism.
Yeah.
So they're not... For those of you who are like, oh, man, he's going to fight, like, Rodan, he's going to fight Mothra, like, unfortunately not. They're just going to be, like, weird monsters that exist.
That will, like, at the very least pay homage to them. Because yeah. the flying one did look a lot like Rodan. I mean, I knew it wasn't.
Yeah.
The case, but it at least looked like it. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part, I feel like as far as the action is concerned for this movie, it'll play out really well. Mm-hmm. It's just, I feel like the only part that's up in the air is the human aspect. But so far from the teasers and stuff that I've seen, mm-hmm. I feel like they're going to do a great job.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Cranston being one of the main leads.
Here's this thing, this duality that exists in my brain that I think exists for a lot of people regarding Bryan Cranston, is that in this Tumblr post I saw sums it up perfectly. And it's basically him as Walter White, and he's doing that scene from Breaking Bad where he's like, I am the danger!
Yeah.
And then, like, the next gif over is just, like, him from the speed-walking episode of Malcolm in the Middle, mm-hmm. and he's just wearing that, like, ridiculously red skin suit, and he's, like, doing the stretches where he's like,
yeah.
whoosh. And I'm like, my brain just cannot wrap itself around the fact that that's the same actor.
That's one thing that's funny. If you watch the Breaking Bad, like, DVDs for the last season, I think, or just, like, if you buy the complete series, I don't know if that's out yet, but there's, like, that little special where it's, like, the alternate ending, and it's yeah. Hal waking up from a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and so, Hopefully Godzilla is going to be good. We're going to watch it next week, and we'll give you a report at a future episode. Mm-hmm. But for the time being, we're actually going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and discuss a couple other movies. So we're going to go take a little listen from a song. This is Onomatoguchi with their I want to say their hit song because it's not super popular, but one of their fun songs, Meow, off their most recent record. So enjoy that, and we'll be right back.
Bye, guys.
Onomatoguchi with their song Meow. We're back here with the movie discussion. We're going to talk about a movie we mentioned in the first half, and that is The Fault. Was it The Fault in Our Stars? I wanted to say Of Our Stars, but it's In Our Stars.
Yes.
All right, so before I showed you, I told you to watch the trailer. Had you heard about this at all?
I had not. I've heard of John Green, who wrote the book.
Yeah.
Because of Crash Course Literature on YouTube. Yeah. I watched Crash Course Literature on YouTube. It's actually really good, and I had no idea that he'd written this book, and so I went, once you asked me about it, and watched the trailer, and I actually Wikipedia'd the book.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I don't think I will be seeing this movie.
Well, why do you say that?
Because of the feels. Like, literally, I am a huge bitch when it comes to, like, sad, sappy movies. Like, when we had to read Bridge to Terabithia, when we were, like, in the fifth grade, I cried in the middle of class. Like, I was that kid that always read ahead in class, and then just next thing I know, I'm just, like, sobbing quietly in the corner, and my teacher's like, oh my god, Michael, what's wrong? And I'm like, she died! And so, like, I went, wikied the book, And I watched the trailer, and I'm like, I am not going to see this. I'm going to be, like, bawling my eyes out in the theater.
You know what? The reason why you don't want to see it is the reason why I do want to see it.
Ah.
Is because I'll probably end up trying to read the book beforehand. I've got some time.
Yeah.
But, no, like, it looks... It's like a romantic comedy of sorts, but without, you know, really relying on the typical cliches.
Yeah, a lot of the tropes.
Yeah. Which, there was, like, one or two points in the trailer where, like, the dialogue was a little too cheesy. But yeah. Even in spite of that, it still looks like it could win me over.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a shot. Plus, you know, you don't really see stories dealing with people like, with cancer and finding love. It's not something you find very often in, you know, big Hollywood movies. And I feel like because of the actors involved, a lot of people will see this and make it a big hit. And maybe we'll see more Hollywood movies giving people with disabilities or people, like, overcoming, like, diseases, like, mm-hmm. these real-life movies, you know?
It won't be just relegated to, like, a Lifetime special.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? And, you know, like, I don't mind crying a little bit in the movie theater. I'll deal with it, you know? Like, it'll probably end up happening.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it. I'll just carry my tissue. I won't have any popcorn so that when I wipe my eyes, it burns because there's salt on my hands.
No. And here's the thing. For those of you at home, it's not that I, like, have any, like, issue against, like, oh, I'm a man and I can't cry.
So he doesn't want to cry publicly and feel like a baby.
No, it's just that I cannot deal with emotion sometimes. Like, sometimes I'm just like, I can't deal with the feels right now. As you know, my life is completely ridiculous as it is, and it just, I don't need that much.
I don't need cancer.
Yeah, I don't need, you know, cancer love to mess me up anymore.
Yeah, all right. So far, it's a watch. Now, we'll get on. Before we go into getting up, okay. We mentioned how with Godzilla, Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson, you know, go from, what's it called, couple to brother and sister. In this one, they're going from brother and sister to couple.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I is this going to be like the new Hollywood thing? Like, you're going to play each other's brother or sister, then you're going to play each other's lover, and then maybe even we'll have you play each other's, you know, daughter, father, or mother, son.
Like, I don't know. It's a really scary trend, and I don't want to...
We started it. It's going to happen now.
It's going to happen. It's a thing.
Because of us.
Mimo Podcast, predicting movie trends since 2014.
And then we'll eventually predict the end of the world.
Yep.
But until we get there, let's talk about Get On Up.
Get On Up.
So this is the biopic about James Brown.
Yes.
And it's got the main lead from, I believe, 42.
Okay.
And it's got Craig Robinson, of all people.
Yeah, I saw him. He's like a little part of the trailer. And I was like, is that Craig Robinson?
On the sax, yeah. No less. You know, is he going to be singing about dropping panties?
Take your panties off.
But you know what? I feel like he's gonna be serious, but he's going to bring like this lighthearted feel that we need.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited.
You know what? I had no idea this movie was coming out until you like put the trailer on my Facebook. And I was like, I might see this, because I'm not huge on biopics. As you guys will probably, like, learn throughout this entire podcast, like, I'm so pessimistic when it comes to the media that I consume, because I am so burnt out on just media in general, and just movies and video games and comic books just fucking up royally. So,
I mean, here's the thing, though. If you don't support the times when it's good, there won't be more good times.
This is true.
Yeah, you can't just complain all the time, and then when it does hit, you never support it.
That's true. You found the folly in my ways.
Yeah. So, in fact, by not supporting it at all, you're only ensuring that you'll be jaded forever when, you know, when movies like these flop and then they continue to go with the typical, here's Shia LaBeouf again doing something dumb in Transformers, you know?
Well, they replaced him with Mark Wahlberg.
Because, I think the overall plan was to, like, kind of, like, reboot it without really rebooting it. It's still in the same universe, but hey, now it's a new titular lead. Plus, in retrospect, it's better this way, considering what happened with this whole fallout with the plagiarizing the author of Ghost World and a bunch, I forget what his name is, Daniel Klaus.
Yeah.
You know, so he even did that whole art installation where you could, like, tell him whatever, and he was all sad, Shia.
Yep.
You know, the beef had royally messed up. The beef had beefed.
The beef had beefed.
Yeah, but so Get On Up, you know, like, biopics, I'll watch them. It's whether or not I'll enjoy them. You know, your mileage may vary depending on the film. Mm-hmm. Even if, like, there's some stuff that's embellished, you know, like, I try to, like, read, okay, well, where do they ham it up? Where do they get it right?
Yeah. I think my favorite biopic of all time is Walk Hard,
yeah.
The Story of Dewey Cox.
Which isn't really a biopic, but it's funny because the parody is biopics. But, no, it's going back to biopics really quickly before we bounce to our final movie. Or actually, second to final movie. We have a fourth one on there. It's not on the list, but we know
what it is. Oh, you're springing shit on me?
No, I showed you the trailer. I just didn't put it on here. I messed up.
Okay.
But is I love it when people who the bio like are like their likeness is in the biopic and they're complaining about their portrayal.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the Biggie biopic came out, Lil' Kim was pissed that mm-hmm. she wasn't in it enough. And I think Biggie's mom even said it's not your biopic.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder who, if anybody, like you know James Brown's surviving, you know heirs or if
or he, relatives or
you,
yeah.
You know, but who like from his you know his camp might be not really into it. Who's gonna be the one to complain if anybody? Yeah. That's what I'm interested in.
I don't know.
We'll see. But, all right, so next movie is Planet of the Apes, which the new trailer for this just came out this week, which is why I felt we had to talk about it.
Yeah, that was yesterday. It came out yesterday.
Yeah.
I never saw the first one. I didn't see the first Planet of the Apes remake.
Yeah.
But I heard it was really good.
It was pretty damn good.
I might have to watch it and then go watch this movie. Because
you definitely should.
I think it's really interesting, and I think it's really the whole, you know, humanity being inhuman to humans, even though they're chimps. And not humans, but that whole conflict I think is really awesome about, you know, hey, there's this group of things and they're different than us and that we're going to use them as scapegoats because we can't deal with our own bullshit.
Yeah, but okay, so since you're not, I'll catch you up to speed. Essentially, in the first one, James Franco's character is working on a cure for Alzheimer's.
Yes,
and the initial cure he makes does work,
mm-hmm.
But it's only temporary. It only lasts so long. So he's able to cure his father's Alzheimer's, but eventually, you know, it comes back.
Yeah.
And so throughout, you know, pushing from higher ups, they try to work like a stronger version,
mm-hmm.
and it gets leaked into. Well, he also tries it on Caesar the chimp.
Yeah.
Before he tries on his dad.
Yeah.
And so Caesar shows this remarkable, intellectual growth. You know, he's able to understand concepts well beyond, like, the average primate.
Yeah.
Things get really carried away. They find out, you know, Caesar's, he attacks the neighbor, he's a menace. And mm-hmm. then from there, like, he kind of goes down this jaded, you know, path and eventually mm-hmm. releases this cure for Alzheimer's into, like, the air. And it becomes, like, a viral disease for humans.
Interesting.
So it reacts positively to primates. But us, it essentially, like, it dwindles our numbers. It harms us. It kills us.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why, you know, like, the world is, like, in this post-apocalyptic, like, future for something. Because the human race has been so dwindled by this.
Okay.
You know, whereas the chimps and all these fellow primates have been able to thrive.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So it's a very interesting, like, way to look at it.
All right.
What's interesting... It kind of bums me out is that James Franco isn't going to be in the sequel, or at least not more than like a scene or two in a flashback or like camcorder scene.
Yeah.
And but other than that, I still feel like it'll still be a very strong film.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. The teaser really had me where you see the main lead goes, "I need to speak to Caesar."
Yeah.
It's the way he says it.
So dramatic.
Yeah. Or even, like, when he's conversing with Caesar, he goes, Caesar says something on the lines of, "Go where?"
Yeah. You know? I think, well, the entire trailer, I was expecting, like, at the end of it, like, is it the little, like, you know, denouement of the trailer, as it winds down, just like Ron Perlman's voice comes in at the end and goes, "And war never changes." Like, starts playing the Fallout music.
Yeah. But, I think what I really want to highlight is Andy Serkis, who plays Caesar, and he's all the motion work.
Yeah.
You know, Andy Serkis is a genius when it comes to this stuff. He's actually training or helping Mark Ruffalo in his portrayal of the Hulk for Avengers 2.
Mm.
You know, so I'm glad that he's on this franchise. I don't really think there's anyone who could do it better than he could.
Yeah. I know. I actually really like when that's one of the things I noticed stylistically, just the way he moves and the way he portrays this character of this ape that's like a leader, and needs to carry this group of his fellow apes forward. It was really nice. I think in the trailer, I really really bit into it and was like, okay, this is believable. This isn't going to be some campy 1950s, you know, damn dirty apes kind of deal.
Wasn't it 1960s, 1970s?
1967? I think so. Yeah. But also the Mark Wahlberg remake, it's not going to be like that.
Where that was really bad. Tim Burton really just brought the bar down. That's why I was really hesitant in watching this first one, but I saw, all right, John Lithgow is in it. That has me sold. I don't care if it's only a minor character, because I love the man. I like watching him and stuff. Very good actor.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, bummer he's not in this one, but if you watch the movie, it makes sense.
Yeah.
While we're talking about all this CGI stuff, this brings us to our final film, which is Guardians of the Galaxy, where two of the actors actually are pretty much all CGI.
This is true.
You know, you have Rocket Raccoon and Groot, played by Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel, respectively.
Yes.
You know, and we still have yet to actually hear any dialogue from either one in a trailer so far, but I feel with the upcoming X-Men movie, they're going to have a bigger, newer Guardians trailer since it'll only be 3 months away, and we'll have some Vin Diesel going, I am Groot!
I think was really funny, if that's his only line throughout the entire movie, it's just different variations of Vin Diesel saying, I am Groot.
Well, I'm pretty sure he'll have, like, some roaring, you know, but I heard a lot of hate originally. It was like mixed. A lot of hate, a lot of love for Vin Diesel, and to all the haters that watch The Iron Giant.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, that'll shut, if you haven't seen it, that'll shut you up.
Yeah. I think The Iron Giant is really, it's not where he got its start, but it's really,
but it's his big voice acting.
Yeah. So, I'm excited for some, like, Iron Giant Groot roars and... Bradley Cooper as Rocket Raccoon. I watched an interview with him, and he seems really excited about this.
Yeah, he's super pumped, which is what I want to see. Like, I want to see him as excited to be in the role as I am to see him in it.
Yeah.
And then, let's not even forget the rest of the cast. You have, Chris Pratt, Star-Lord, you know, Parks and Rec alum.
This was really weird, because it's really weird to see him, because I never saw Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
Which is where he plays a really serious role.
Yes.
I've only ever seen him in Parks and Rec. Yeah. And, well, in Lego Movie, but...
Yeah. But that's still kind of pretty silly. Yeah. You know?
So I only know him as, like, this big man-child.
The,
like,
Kregel!
Yeah, no, you know? But,
yeah. And in an interview, he even said, you know, like, I want to branch out. I don't want to just play just the slob guy who drinks a bunch of beer, does a bunch of dumb stuff.
No, I think he has it in him. I think it's a good movie for him to kind of display his acting chops and really show that, like, hey, look, I don't have to just play, like, the dumb idiot who, you know, marries the hot chick and...
Johnny Karate.
Yeah, you know.
You know? Or Burt Macklin. Yeah. FBI. You know? But, so, it'll be cool to see him as a lead, and I'm really excited to see him be a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, especially because with the way things are going, he'll more than likely be in Avengers 3. So, this won't be the last time we see him in a Star-Lord role.
No, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the new Avengers movie, too.
Yeah. Well, let's not get too carried away. We still have two cast members. We have Zoe Saldana as Gamora.
Yes.
Which I'm very excited for as well. I feel like she has just the look of Gamora. I like the costume they've given her in this one.
Yes.
Her some of her older costumes, like, that I guess people are fan favorites of, I'm not a fan of.
Well, that's at that whole, like, comic book, like, women have to be dressed as skimpily as possible.
Or, like, even, like, video games is like, oh, like, your only armor is a chainmail bikini. What about, like, someone stabs me in the stomach? It doesn't hurt.
Yeah, you know, some dude bro's like, it's fantasy, though.
Yeah, but it's a space fantasy. She's an alien. She's I mean, even Superman wears tights.
Yeah.
Or he wears some kind of, like, protective clothing.
Of course.
Yeah. And the final one, which is the one that gets a lot of heat in his day job, is Dave Bautista of the WWE. Or, as many like to call him, Bautista.
Bautista.
And there's lots of Bautista chants whenever he comes out. And I feel bad for the guy because, you know, he's not a horrible wrestler by any means. He's just not who the fan base wants to see.
No, of course.
And what's interesting is I know that they're going to do, like, a tie-in with Raw and SmackDown as we get closer to the movie. My question is, what are they going to do? Like, are they going to, like, have him and Chris Pratt be in a tag team? You know? You know, you laugh, but you never saw Ready to Rumble featuring David Arquette, or did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, that was a WCW-funded movie, had a lot of the superstars in it, and the whole... And to help promote it, they made David Arquette WCW Cruiserweight Champion. I'm not even joking. He won the championship belt and defended it in at least 2 pay-per-views. In fact, if you watch, it's on the WWE Network, which I can show you later. He defends it at the last Slamboree that WCW ever had before it folded against Diamond Dallas Page and Jeff Jarrett.
You know what? No, I think I saw something about this on Cracked.com. Yeah. They read an article about like the weirdest things your celebrities have done, and it was. Yeah, that's hilarious. I don't even watch wrestling, and I already know like they're going to do something really crazy.
Yeah, you know, so I'm just like are they going to take on the Usos? Yeah. Is he going to drop Orton and be like, I've got Pratt? is Pratt going to have like some really like is he going to come out like to the Parks and Rec theme song walking down the ramp? You know, like what are they going to do? Like, are they going to bring Vin Diesel? Like, they could bring a plethora of different people.
That's true. They totally could.
You know, like they recently, they had Arnold and Joe Manganiello coming for Sabotage. They had Hugh Jackman for Wolverine, as Wolverine. Well, not as Wolverine, but like, you know him as Wolverine in the X-Men movies. He came out and it was him and Dolph Ziggler, and then Dolph was going to take on Damian Sandow. Damian Sandow comes out dressed as Wolverine, and they do this really hilarious bit where, like, Damian Sandow's like, I have magnetic powers, and he tries to take the mic away from Hugh Jackman. And at first, they're like, what are you doing? All of a sudden, Hugh Jackman plays it really well. He's like, whoa, the mic is moving. And he goes, wait, no, it's not. And he hits Sandow with it. Like, so it's like, what are they going to do?
That's awesome.
Knowing that he's also in the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, I feel like, is going to be, like, the big underdog that no one's going to really see, like, doing as well as it is going to do.
Eventually. Oh, no. I have every bit of confidence in this movie, just because people are so psyched about all the others, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe movies coming out, that I think that's going to, they're like, oh, it takes place in the Marvel Universe? I'm going to see it.
Yeah, you know who the biggest haters are actual comic book readers, because, like, oh, who are these guys? No one's ever heard of these characters, and I'm like...
Really? Because... I actually went and watched a couple of videos about, like, the history of Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. And it's got a pretty big and rich past.
It does have a big... But I'm saying, like, they're, like, just elitist, like, nerds who are, like, just... Who have to hate on something.
Guys, public service announcement. Don't be an elitist asshole.
Can we just about anything. Doesn't matter what you're into. Music, sports, exactly. TV, nachos.
Why would you not want to share the thing that you love with other people? I don't understand.
Because I'm greedy!
Oh, you don't love the thing that I love as much as I do, so get out.
All right, but, pretty much, all these movies are thumbs up. We were going to see them, and as they come out, we will give you our own opinions on them. And speaking of watching movies and giving you an update, I know but one came out last month, one came out just the other week, with our local drive-in is showing a double feature of Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Captain America 2 Winter Soldier. So, over the course of this weekend, we are going to watch both. I've already seen them. Mike hasn't.
Nope.
And so we're going to give you our thoughts on them a little bit late, I know, but that won't be the entire discussion, but it'll be part of it. We'll have other talking points that we have yet to determine because we're still not done with this episode yet.
Yep.
And other than that, if you have any questions, comments, feel free to just hit us up on our, you know, personal Facebooks or, you know, what have you. And as we get more established, we'll have, like, an official email and Twitter and all this other dumb crap. But until then, you know, like I said, find us on the internet via Twitter, Wacky Mondo.
And you can find me on Twitter via @BlueDijin. That's BlueDijin.
Yeah. All right, so this has been the first episode of the Memo Cast. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you later.
Bye, guys.